Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing this morning? Amen. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you, God. And Father, I pray this morning, God, that you would have a word for the men here on the mountaintop, God, that Father, each and every person in this place, God, that they would be able to go back to their cities, God, that they would be able, God, to go back to their homes, Lord, and be that warrior that rises up, God. Father, I pray, Lord, for those, God, that are struggling, God, those that are barely hanging on, God. I pray that this would be the season of turnaround, God. Oh, Father, those that were about to fall off, that this would be the season that they would rise up, God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would multiply, oh, Father, the amount of leaders in our churches, God. Men raising up, God, to answer the call, Lord. Father, I pray, God, oh, Father, move in a special way. I pray your Holy Spirit would have full control here this morning, God. Father, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can go ahead and have a seat this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, I am excited to be here this morning. Amen. I kind of feel like I was set up a little. I do have to follow Pastor Danny and Pastor Renee. God, those are some fire-breathing, Holy Ghost-filled speakers. Amen. And so hopefully, you know, I haven't always been able to speak. I was a very shy person. You know, before I get started, I want to take this opportunity. I really want to thank my pastor for giving me this opportunity, of course. But not just for giving me the opportunity, because like he said, I was a rough dude, right? I was really rough. Man, I weighed about 110. I wish I still weighed about 110, but I don't weigh 110 anymore. But, you know, the great thing about your pastor is he sees something that you don't see. And, you know, I've come a mighty long way, but, it wasn't without a lot of hard work from Pastor Danny and some of the other leaders in my life. I want to thank him. He's my spiritual father. We have a great, great leader here in the Rio Grande region. Amen. And I appreciate him. He's the reason. He is the reason that I am a good father. He is the reason that I am a man of God. He's the reason that I'm a good husband, because of the exampleship that we have in our pastor and Pastor Danny. Amen. So let's give him a big hand, because love you, Pastor. And then also to all, you know, my team, the gang team. Amen. They did such a great job in the 7 minutes. Amen. Devin and Fritos. And then all my co-laborers, Team 6, P-Chuck, P-Joe, B-Dre. And then it was real quick, since I got plenty of time, I want to send a quick shout out to Brother Dave, our men's home director. Hey, you know what? It was 15 years ago that Brother Dave took a left turn into the parking lot and busted me smoking behind Alamosa when I was in the men's home. Hello, somebody. Say, you're not the only one, Brother Dave, busted smoking. I think, was I the first one? I was there. Amen. So let's jump right into it. Once again, you know, I when I was in middle school, the one thing that I hated the most was getting up in front of people and speaking. I hated it. It's like you open up the book, you got the class in front of you, you start fumbling your words, you can't say anything, you begin to like feel like you're going to pass out, your heartbeat's pounding out of your chest, things are going through your mind, you don't think you're going to make it, you think you're going to throw up and everybody's going to laugh at you. Come on, has anybody ever been there before? Right, so, you know, and even when I first started speaking, you know, I was in the home, I used to yell 97% of my message. Brother Dave can testify. 97, nothing but yelling, no voice, right? And, you know, it's like, but when God begins to do something, you know what I mean? It's like, when, let me t- tell you a quick story of something that happened to me when I first started speaking. So I'm up there, I'm speaking, I get off the pulpit, you know how we do, and we like to run to the front, right? So we can shake hands on the way out. Because, you know, everybody wants to shake my hands because I spoke, right? Have a nice day. God bless you, right? And this little girl comes up to me and she gives me $20. And I say, no, and she's one of the leader's kids, right? So I'm like, no, I don't need your $20. And she's like, no, I want you to have my $20. I say, I don't need your $20. And she goes, please take it. My dad says, you're one of the poorest preachers we've ever had. No, that didn't happen. I'm just kidding about that one. I was waiting for an opportunity to say that one. All right, let's jump into it. Now, fun time is over. Tell your neighbor time to get serious. Time to get serious. Deuteronomy chapter 3. I want to thank Pastor Danny and Pastor Nate for tap dancing around my message, but not on it. Appreciate you guys. I know that message last night, man, that was a powerful, powerful word. If you don't got passion right now, then we need to send you to the hospital because someone checked that brother's pulse. That was like when they rub those two things together, right? And then they zap, what's that called? Defibrillator. That's what we had last night. We had a passion defibrillator. Clear! Poof! Boom! Deuteronomy chapter 3, give me a loud amen when you're there. Give me a louder amen. Chapter 11, I'm sorry, I meant chapter 3, verse 11. You know what I'm talking about. The Bible reads, King Og of Bashan was the last survivor of the giant Phrixides. His bed was made of iron and was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. Now, let me give you a little bit of background where we're at right now. Deuteronomy chapter 3, what's taking place is the children of Israel are about to go into the promised land. Now, in Exodus, you don't read too much about the different fights that are taking place. You hear a little bit about it. Joshua was fighting some kind of ites or whatever. But you don't really see that there was too much war going on in the wilderness. But you have to understand that they weren't just roaming around in their togas and sandals in the wilderness. There was a fight taking place in the wilderness. They had a fight. They were fighting people, and they were defending themselves. And while they were in the wilderness, they were becoming men of war. And so inside the wilderness, we see here that they were right before, at the season right in front of them going into their promised land, right? So the next thing that's going to take place is they're going to be walking, right, up to Jericho. They're going to be walking through the land filled with milk and honey. I like Pastor Renee's story about the giants and that's why the fruit was bigger. That was a mind blown right there. I was like, come on, somebody. Saw it in a whole nother light. But they were right there on the edge of going into the promise. And I believe maybe here this morning that some of you might be in that season right before you go into your promised land. You might be in a season this morning that is right before the season you want to be in. Some of you might be in the men's home this morning. Come on, somebody. And you're saying, this isn't where I want to be, but let me tell you, that's where you need to be. Because you are in the season right before the season that God is going to do something big in your life. Some of you are about to step into a season of a double portion anointing. Some of you are about to step into a season where God is going to begin to give you the promises that he's promised you year after year. It's in the next season. I said, I got some news for you. Some of you are about to step into your breakthrough. You're about to step in. You are right on the edge. been in line for a long time, right? You've been in line. You were like in that food line this morning. And I was like, good Lord, I'm so hungry. But I had to like keep my cool because I'm next to pastor, right? I'm like, and then like my disciples are over there. Yeah, come on. And I'm like, and pastor, he's being all cool. He's being all humble. He's like, no, we'll wait in line. And then Cordy was all like, yo, man, you can pull your pastor's card. I was like, oh, I got my pastor's card on me. Let me pastor, we got the card. Let's get these biscuits and gravy on. But right before, see, some of you, you're about to give up right before. Oh, you're about to give up. You're about to throw in the towel. Right before God is about to do something so spectacular in your life. I mean, you take a look back and you wonder why the devil's hitting you so much. You wonder why the devil is hitting you so much. It's because the devil sees your blessing coming. And he wants to steal it from you. He wants to rob you. He wants to convince you that you should just leave the home, that you should leave the church. But little did you know, right on the other side of this mountain, God has something so amazing for you. Oh, he got that rib you've been praying for. Oh, come on, somebody. Hey, listen, you don't get that kind of rib by giving up. Oh no, you don't get it. See, I got one of those ribs. Let me tell you something about my rib. My rib is a back-to-back partner. On fire, double portion, anointed. Right? If you give up, you get one of those other ribs. Right? You get one of those other ribs. You ain't eating at the Roadhouse. You ain't going to Golden Crew. You ain't going to none of those nice places. You ain't going to Rudy's. You ain't going to Padres. You ain't getting some of those good ribs. You're gonna settle for one of those fast food ribs. You're gonna get a McRib. Ah! Oh! Get into this thing right now. The children of Israel were in the season right before they entered into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 11, once again. King Og of Bashan was the last survivor of the giant Phehites. I said that different every time. It's all right. His bed was made of iron and was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. You know, throughout your Christian walk, you'll discover that there are many giants in the land. There are many giants in the land. And most of these giants, they're famous, right? They're famous giants. They're well known to the men of God. You look at the giant of addiction. Come on, somebody. I know some of us, we've conquered the giant of addiction. Right? Some of you, you might be still saying, I'm in the home. I'm trying to kill that giant. Listen, but that is a well-known giant. You look at the giant of lust. The giant of bitterness. That's why you can't stand to see your brother do nothing good for God. You'd rather him fail than succeed. You'd rather the team lose than him win. The problem is you don't know we all a team. We in this thing together. What you're doing is you're speaking curses over your brother. You're like, I hope he don't do as good as me. I hope he don't go as far as me. I hope he don't make it in the home. I wish he would just leave. Rage. Insecurity. All these are champions. The Bible talks about a champion, a well-known, famous giant by the name of Goliath. And the Bible talks about how big and bad Goliath was. That he was 9 feet tall. That his weapons were so heavy. It gives the exact weight of his spear and his sword and all that. A giant. And the Bible calls Goliath a champion. See, the thing about a champion is a champion is one that has defeated its adversaries. You don't get to be a champion by just buying a nice shield. You don't get to be a champion by just wearing the right basketball shoes. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all thought you were MJ last night. You might have had the Air Jordans on. You jumped about 2 inches off the ground. You know who you are. I don't got to say it. But you don't become a champion until you win championships. And see, Goliath had won championships. That's why the Bible calls him a champion. And so Goliath was the champion of the Philistines, and he had conquered many adversaries. And we have to understand that there are also champions that are over us. Because there are some things that we have not yet conquered. Who is the champion of your life? Huh? Is lust the champion of your life? I've seen it before. I've been around 15 years. I've seen powerful men of God trade it all for a booty call. For lust. Couldn't get their eyes where they're supposed to be. On God. Right? Going to, even in worship, they got their, you know, you can tell the people that are in worship and the people that are there for worship. Right? You see, when we used to be at Five Points, they didn't have that. We used to, all the guys, they'd worship like this when I was in the home. I don't know how it is now. I'll enter his courts with thanksgiving. You ain't entering his courts. You're looking at those shorty shorts. You know what you're doing in worship. Playing the part. Like you're an actor. Like you need an Oscar or an Academy Award or something. Because lust is the champion of your life. Like that drug is the champion of your life. It controls you. It has you in bondage. It's there to tell you where to go and what to say and what to do. We all have champions of our life. Things that we have not yet defeated. And these champions are just like Goliath. They're giants. See, the problem is we see them as giants. The Bible gives an account of Goliath being over 9 feet tall. And we look at Goliath, and we look at the champions of our life, and we say, no way I can ever have victory. No way I can ever overcome. No way I can ever kill or defeat this giant in my life. Because he's so big. But can you imagine how small Goliath is compared to your God? Can you imagine trying to tell God how big that giant is? I know it sounds kind of stupid because it is. It don't just sound stupid, it is stupid. You're trying to tell God how big the giant is, you should be telling the giant how big your God is. That's why we can't overcome, because we don't run to God. We don't believe that God is the champion of our lives. We don't believe that God can get us through. Oh, we walk into a situation defeated, even before we take it to the Lord, even before we call upon the name of the Lord, we just accept the circumstance. Oh, my dad was a junkie. I'll be a junkie. Or you know what? This is this, and that. You don't even have the faith to believe. How do you expect the other people to have faith when you as a leader don't even have faith? You don't even believe that your own youth ministry or your own ministry or your own home will ever grow. How do you expect the people to believe it? You are, what your language is defeat. You speak defeat. And so the result is defeat. Why don't you try speaking some victory every once in a while? Oh, yeah, we can do this thing. We're going to grow this thing. Speak victory. There's power of death and life in the tongue. Speak some victory. To the other guys before the retreat. What was your, oh, I got it. Pastor wants me to go to this retreat. But I'm only going to go because he told me I had to. So speak some life. Come on, let's go. Oh, I can't get the time off of work. Oh, you flipping burgers anyway. Go get some new work. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 11, once again. King Og of Bashan was the last survivor of the giant Rephides. His bed was made of iron, and he was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. See, the Rephides were an ancient race of giants. We read about them all the way back in Genesis chapter 14, where the Bible mentions that it took many kings allied together to defeat the Rephides. The Hebrew word for Rapha means terrible. It can also be translated into dead or shadows. An associated meaning for their name is to leave one weak or powerless. King Og was the last of the Rephides. So King Og, the giant, was the last giant that they had to defeat before entering the promised land. This is the giant that's standing in between you and your next season. This is the giant that's standing in between you and what God has for you. This is the giant right here. Your own, you could see. They had already, the 12 spies had already gone. They saw the horchata or whatever that Pastor Nay was talking about. They've already experienced the fiesta or whatever. They already knew. But this was the giant. This was the giant that stood between them and who God had created them to be. The Bible doesn't say how big and bad he was. The Bible doesn't say how big and heavy his weapons were. The Bible doesn't say how many men he had killed. The Bible only gives one description of this king, and it was how big his bed was. Once again, King Og of Bashan was the last survivor of the giant Rephides. His bed was made of iron and was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. See, one of the greatest giants that we will ever face will not only be the giants of sin and insecurity, but it's the giant of contentment and weak commitment. There is still another giant in the land. This giant says, I'm too tired to go to church, but I can stay up all night and binge watch Netflix. I don't have time to make it to church tonight, but I got time to watch an entire season of Game of Thrones, The Walking Dead, NCIS, Breaking Bad, House of Cards. It's time to put the House of Cards down and get your butt to the house of God. Better call Saul. You better call on the name of Jesus. What you better call? Spending all your time. Oh, I'm too tired for church. What time you go to sleep? What were you doing all night? It wasn't praying. It wasn't fasting. Spending all your time doing mindless stuff. That's why you're too tired to get church. I said there is still another giant in the land. This giant says, I'm too busy to go pray, but not busy to go play. You'd rather spend all your time on a new caster than with your master. Some of you fishermen know what I'm talking about. You'd rather spend all your time bulking up at the gym than spending time with him. Some of you guys in the home, you're quick to hit those weights. And I see them all the time. They're running in place on the rocks. Right? But they're over here where the women can see them on the women's home. Not in our home, right? You'd rather pay $90 and watch two guys punch it out in the ring than spend time in the presence of the king. And you know it was a fixed fight anyways. You know that dude wasn't no boxer. You thought it was a real fight. You're too busy at home watching the fake fight, and you're not even in the real fight. Your pastors and your leaders are taking all the arrows to the chest where you're at home getting some rest. Oh, you didn't think I had some rhymes, huh? That's all I had. Don't expect no more. Don't expect no more. This giant says, I can't make a way to get to conference, but I always make a way to the lake. Every concert I want to go to, weekend getaways, every theme park in California, Universal Studios to Disneyland, I'll be there. I'll be in California 9 times a year, but I ain't going to make it to one single conference. No commitment. King Og. See, the problem with it, he had a big bed. See, some of you can't get up out your bed. Can't get out your bed to go to church. Can't get out your bed to go to the streets. Can't get out your bed to go evangelize. That's why you wear house shoes all the time. That's why you're rolling around in chanclas. Instead of combat boots, I can see your toes, bro. How you gonna fight? I can see your toes. Get back to this thing. This giant says, I can't give 10% to the church on Sunday, but I can give 10% to the movies on Saturday. I can give 10% to Starbucks. I can give 10% to Walmart. I can give 10% to Comcast. Can't even give 10% to God. There is still another giant in the land. See, some of you might have thought you already defeated all your giants, right? So I defeated the giant of heroin. I defeated the giant of meth. I defeated the giant of crack cocaine. I defeated the giant of Bud Light. I I defeated the giant of Jack Daniels. Some of you even defeated those foreign giants. You defeated the giants of Jose Cuervo. You defeated the giant of Smirnoff. International giants you killed. But you can't defeat the giant of Marlboro. Can't defeat the giant of porno. Can't get out of that bed. See, this giant represented something that we all deal with. And see, in the last season, when we were in bondage, the last season we defeated all those giants. But there's still one more giant in the land. There's still one more giant. That's after you've already had a little bit of success. That's after you got a good job, right? That's after you've done a few things. Then there's another giant that says, why do I have to do it anymore? Why do I have to be there? Haven't I been around long enough? Haven't I gone to enough of those? See, this giant is a giant that says, just stay home. And rest. Just stay home and kick it. Just stay home and relax. But you see, this giant is one of the enemy's greatest attacks. This is the same giant that took David out when he was looking from his rooftop. When he was at a time of war, that he stayed home. When it was a time to be out with his men in battle, he decided to stay home. So you know what? I'll just kick back. I'll just chill out. I'll just do my thing. And there you have, you see that it caught his eye, Bathsheba. And before you know it, that everything that David had worked for, everything that David had accomplished was compromised with one act because of the giant that I'm talking about today. See, some of us, we think that the battle's over. But you see, the battle has just begun. The battle has just begun. You have not yet received your promises. You might have received your deliverance, children of God, but you have not yet received your promises. The people were delivered from bondage. They were set free from captivity. Moses went in there and told Pharaoh, let my people go. But oh, as they left, they thought that was listened, but they had still not yet received their promise. See, God has a promise for you. God has a promise for you. God wants to raise you up and send you all over the world. Some of you are going to be pastors and evangelists and hope directors and missionaries and UTC directors. You're going to be all over the world. But see, this giant comes and tells you and convinces you that the less than average is amazing. You think you're living an amazing life because that's what the enemy tells you. Oh, this is amazing. Oh, that little ministry you're running, that's amazing. Oh, that little calling that you have, that's amazing. And you're convinced that you're living the amazing life. But it's because the enemy's convinced you to think that the below average is amazing. Listening for the crickets right now. See, King Og was the last surviving giant of the Rephaites. He was the last one. The very last one they had to defeat. And the Bible says that when they went there, Deuteronomy chapter 3, back up to verse 1, it gives the account of King Og there with his entire army. His entire people were there. If I get the worship team up. They were there. His entire army was there. And so Moses went to God and said, God, what do I do? There's this last giant in the land. How do I defeat him? And what God told Moses, you treat this giant like you treated the rest. Just as you defeated everyone else, defeat him as well. Just as you defeated addiction, just as you defeated lust, just as you defeated bitterness, just as you defeated insecurity, just as you defeated the rest, defeat this one as well. I don't know about you, but I believe that God has so much more for me. That God has so much more. And I know that God has so much more for our region. I know that God has so much more for the men of God in our churches. I know that God has so much more for your families and your children. I know that God has so much more. But there is still another giant in the land. I'll stand to your feet this morning. If you would be men of God with passion, men of God that fulfill the purpose that God has created you for. Not the less than average life that the devil has tried to convince you is amazing. I'm talking about living the amazing life that God has for you. The success that comes with serving God. I'm talking about your churches exploding into revival. I'm talking about your family saved and set free. That you're moving up in your companies. That you won't be made, you won't be at the bottom anymore. We got to raise you up to be the boss. To be the boss. Even though you don't deserve it. Even though you're not qualified. But God could do it. Did it for me. I don't deserve anything that God's given me. I just have the faith to get it. Listen. You can defeat addiction and you can defeat anger, you can defeat bitterness. But if you go back off this mountain, back home, you got to know that there is still another giant in the land. And that giant is the giant of contentment, the giant of weak commitment, the giant that says that you already give enough. Why would you give any more? Listen, you're right there. You're right there. You're about to step into your promises. You're about to step into your promised land. You're about to step into a place where all you're going to see God's goodness. You're going to see the power of God working through you. Don't give up now. Don't settle. Because God has something for you. God has something so amazing for you. Everybody close their eyes all over this place. As I was ministering, you might have thought that some of those giants that you talked about before, I have not yet defeated those. I have not yet defeated my giant of addiction or my giant of lust or my giant of bitterness or rage. I still need to defeat them. Then gentlemen, this morning, men of God, this morning, warriors, this morning, it is time to run down the hill with your sling and your stone and defeat the giants that are holding you in bondage. But if you say, I've defeated addiction, I've been around 10 years, I've been around 12 years, I've been around 15 years. There is still one more giant in the land. It's time to defeat your giant that holds you back. The giant that has little faith. The giant that has doubt. The giant that doesn't have your pastor's back. The giant that says, no, we can't do that. The giant that says, I can't give that. The giant that says, I can't step out. The giant that says, I can't enter. answer the call. It's time to defeat that giant and become the men of God that God has called you to be. All over this place. If that's you, if you need to defeat a giant in your life, then I want you to step out of your seats this morning and make your way to the altar. Oh, we worship you, God.